of the Church of the Savior in Cora, the leading church in Constantinople of the late Byzantine period, where the paintings are very often described as mannerist, as very close to or even superior to the paintings you have in Italy, paintings associated with Giotto, for instance. And here you have this in this breakaway provincial city, Trebizond. It has certain distinct qualities. The blue is really quite extraordinary when you get the background when it comes through these fragments. And this, you have the same basic program with the Christ Pantocrator on the dome, the apse of any Byzantine churches or Eastern Orthodox churches seen as the as the manger, and therefore you have a nativity scene. And therefore, the church shows the standard iconography that would be expected in a Byzantine church, but it combines these various forms from the capital, from Armenia and Georgia, and from Asia Minor into a very vivid and new way. And in closing, I should really stress two points about the visual arts that were revived in this period of the Middle Byzantine era. And that is, first, that many of the arts that come down to us are religious arts. We know there was a very, very vibrant secular art going on. Much of it has not survived, although we suspect that it is heavily classical in focus. And that's a point that should be stressed. You're always looking at a very distorted record when you're looking at Byzantine art. Even so, those religious arts were masterfully assembled within churches to orient the worshiper. So whether you went into the Hagia Sophia at Trebizond, into one of those simple rustic rock-cut churches, or you were on that marvelous Armenian church, you were on that island at Akhtamar and went in, you were always oriented. You were never away from home. Religiously, you were in the same place. You walked in, there was above you the Pantocrator, the Dome of Heaven, that is Christ in majesty in the dome. You were confronted with the nativity scene. All of the pictures were laid out very clearly. You very often have these parallels of Old Testament, New Testament. For instance, the popularity of the figure of Jonah wasn't just restricted to the Armenians. It was a very common theme because it was seen as a resurrection scene. It was seen as anticipating the crucifixion. And sometimes moderns have a bit of trouble dealing with any medieval art. Why is this Old Testament scene juxtaposed against this? And it's because there's a moral lesson to be drawn. One prefigures the other. And this is very common not only in Byzantine but also in Western European art. This defines very much the Orthodox tradition, and these arts continue down to the present day and still influence deeply Orthodox civilization in Russia, in southeastern Europe, in Georgia and Armenia. At the same time, I want to stress that even under the rule of the Seljuk Sultans of Konya, who take control of the peninsula in the 11th century, at least the interior, and then under the later Ottoman sultans, who come to succeed to the Byzantine legacy, the Orthodox arts continue. We have a number of instances where, if not new paintings, at least the paintings were repainted in Cappadocia, in Armenia, that the especially the Ottoman sultans respected the rights of the Orthodox Christians. And it's only gradually that Christians in Asia Minor went over to Islam. And when they did, they carried many important visual arts over to the new religion of Islam. Architectural elements, the use of the dome, which we'll see in both Seljuk and Ottoman art. That comes out of the Byzantine architectural tradition, the Christian tradition. A painting, mosaic work, probably illuminated manuscripts, a number of visual arts are taken over by Christian craftsmen working for Muslim patrons, then eventually converting to Islam and carrying those arts over. To be sure, the Turks will bring new art forms with them. They will bring with them porcelain, for one. They will bring tiles and glazed tiles used in decoration. But they will acknowledge the debt to this Middle Byzantine civilization by adapting many elements of it into their own Turkish Muslim civilization. So there is a continuity that will carry over in Asia Minor from that Byzantine into that Turkish period. And furthermore, I should close by stressing that Christians lived in great numbers across Asia Minor really up until the opening of the 20th century. It was only in 1923 when there was a great exchange of populations where Christians went to Greece and Muslims went to Turkey. But that is a phenomenon of the 20th century.